This is the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Billy Branham is on a mandate from God with a special message. It was preached in Houston, Texas under a strong anointing. It is an old message with a fresh new insight on the authority of the believer and what it means to be seated together with Christ Jesus. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
Woo! Now, how's he going to do it? You see that word "that" at the beginning of verse 7? That. That is a really important word. In the Greek, it's hine, and it means in order that. Something happened in order that throughout all the ages to come that will pile themselves one upon another, upon another, upon another, he can show off the riches of his grace. That's something pretty important. Whatever that was is really important. Let's go and see what it was. I'm getting happy thinking about it. Whoa! I wish I could do this, but I... Let's start at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He reached down and raised up Jesus from the dead, and when he raised up him, he raised us up, and he seated Jesus at his right hand, and he seated you there. We do not just have fire insurance. This is not just about missing hell. This is about sitting at the right hand of power of the entire creation and ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's run. You talk about something to run about, something to shout about. This is it. Woo! This is God's purpose. This is God's plan. No wonder John wouldn't come to your pity party. I can tell you somebody else that didn't come. God. The devil was there. He loves pity parties. We had a way too many pity parties and a way too few conscious recognition of the fact that we're seated with him in the heavenlies. Hallelujah! I said to the Lord lately, I read something about preaching the gospel. And he's told me now there's going to be a real anointing on the body of Christ in the realm of authority. One of the doors, I believe, that we're going to go through, that Brother Copeland saw, we're going to go through the door of a room. You know, do you remember when Elijah, the prophet, was told to anoint someone to occupy his room, to operate in his room? That's a real important word in the Hebrew, acheder. I believe the entire body of Christ is coming up to another room. We're going to walk through the door, and we're going to sit there in that throne room with God himself, and we're going to rule and reign over the enemy. God is ultimately in control, but he's not in control of everything you see around about you. Brother Hagin, he's told it many places about how he read a columnist, and this was a well-known national newspaper columnist, and he started off by saying, "You know, I don't believe in God." He said, "I'm not an atheist exactly. An atheist says there is no God." He said, "I'm probably more of an agnostic. An agnostic says there may be a God, but if there is, I don't know it." But he said, "One of the reasons why I cannot believe there's a God is that the Christians say he's running everything. And if he's running everything, he sure got things in a mess. Why is there all this war? Why are there all these starving children? Why is there such a mess in this earth? God's not running everything. Ultimately, he gave the dominion to man. He gave the dominion to his man Adam and crowned him with glory and said he would have dominion over the works of his hands. But Adam gave that dominion over to the devil. And we're in the case in this world, the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, the god of this world, when Satan, with usurped authority, has been ruling in the earth. Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came. Hallelujah. 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 He carried our sin to the cross. But that wasn't the end of it, thank God. Hallelujah. He went into the depths of hell and conquered the foe. Threw off from himself principality and power and might and dominion. Hallelujah. Rose up from there, went by and picked up his body, ascended to the Father and offered his blood. It was accepted. Came back down on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Talked to the people, risen in his body, and said to them, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now here's you some." And he gave us the authority on the earth. We have not done with it what we should do, but we are going to do it before we leave here. Yeah. Hallelujah. The book of Ephesians is a book filled with God's purpose and plan for the church and for all creation. Recently, there came into my hand a book about the book of Ephesians called The Authority of the Believer by John A. MacMillan. I know about The Authority of the Believer. I learned about it working for Kenneth E. Hagin years ago. I was his editor for years. And we had a book that Brother Hagin wrote in 1967 called The Believer's Authority Now. We used to call it The Authority of the Believer. And this book, I didn't do this book. It was done before I went to work for him in 1970. But this book outsold every other book of Brother Hagin's by about 100 to 1 or 10 to 1. We got testimonies after testimonies. Shelley told you a testimony tonight about a young woman who got this book. And when they got this book and found out that they had some authority, their lives turned around. Bless the Lord. And so we used it in our family. I used it, and I told about it in the book, The Blood and the Glory, how we used it. I told the story of Chip, my son, in college. When he went to college, and he went with these boys, these athletes, and they lived in this I guess they rented a double wide or a trailer in this town. Baseball players, basketball players, football players. And that house that they rented, they would come home in the evenings and every appliance would be on. Every window would be up. Every light would be on. The mixer would be mixing. The radio would be playing. The TV, whatever was going, was going. And they'd shut it all down and they'd come home the next day and it'd be the same way. And so they went to their landlord, and they said, "What about this?" And he said, "Well, you're the only ones with a key. Nobody else can get in there." And so then one night, you know, they come home, everything's on again. Chip's back in his room, he's studying, and he hears the door bang in that trailer, and the trailer shakes. And he walks in the living room, and he sees this figure come in, dark, shadowy figure come in, and go down the hallway to Connelly's room. Connelly's another a basketball player down at the end. And then they wait for a little while, and that thing comes back by and goes out the wall of the trailer. Doesn't need to use the door, but the door slams. And Chip, my son, ran back to his bedroom. Matt, who was sleeping on the couch, ran back there with him. Chip had a little single double bed. They both got in the double bed, single bed. Two athletes got in the bed, hugged each other all the night, vowed they will never tell a soul. They got up in the morning. Connelly comes out of his room and he said, "Did you all see what that was in here last night?" And Chip and Matt said, "Oh no, it wasn't a dream." And Connelly said, It was like the Grim Reaper. It had a hood. It had a scythe. It went back in there and it stood at the foot of Connelly's bed and just stood there. Connelly said, "Somebody's going to die. I don't know. It's going to be me or somebody I love is going to die." And then the other boy, Robert, came out and he said, "What was all that door banging?" And then all of them hit the front door and they ran 2 miles down the road. I put in my book that it was a mile, but Chip said it was 2 miles. They ran down the road to a phone, a little convenience store and a phone. And they called me at about 4:30 in the morning. And it was little voices like a Mickey Mouse or something. It was like, "Is this real?" I didn't know who it was until Chip said, "Mom, they're scared stiff." And I said, "What is it?" And they told me. And Chip said, I said, "Give me a break." I said, "Those are little low-level devils. And they have scared you boys." You know, devils, there's a hierarchy of them. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Principalities, powers, mights, and dominion, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. The lowest little ones are little low-level devils that run around here on earth, scaring people. And Chip said, he didn't need to use the door. He just went out. But why did the door bang? I said, "Did it scare you?" "Yes." I said, "Well, that's what he wanted. He wanted to scare you." I said,
thank you for listening to today's radio broadcast. To receive this new CD series entitled Authority of the Believer and the newly released book Authority of the Believer by J.A. McMillan, please call our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. When ordering, please mention the call letters of this radio station. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom.